Well, good morning. We're going to get started here today, and excited. We've got just a couple of presentations today about some activities this summer in regards to missions and service trip. First of all, we're going to hear from Elliot Tuohy, and he's going to talk about his trip to the Netherlands for about 20 minutes or so, and then after that, I'll get up and you have a brief discussion as well about our service trip to Blaine Baptist. So just a couple of good reports, a chance for you to hear how God has been working through some of the lives of the people in our church. So without further ado, we'll turn it over to Elliot and give him as much time as we can.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad to be back. Thankful to be here today and get to present to you what God's been doing in my own life and also what he's doing in the Netherlands through some missionaries that I got to stay with, Daniel and Heather Boyd through Baptist Mid Missions. And this program was through their Go Dutch program and their First Look. So it's to get kids that are just coming out of high school into college to get out into missions, see what it's like to be a missionary. You go for 4 to 6 weeks and find all that. So I'm going to jump right into my presentation. And what did I do in the Netherlands? That's what I want to talk about first. Well, we were busy from day one. I landed, took a nap, got out some lunch, and then we went and visited this place just south of where they live called the Moses Bridge or Joshua Bridge. I can't remember exactly which one it is, but it's a really cool bridge. So on the left picture, that's the star formation. That is an old military base back when the Spanish was invading the Netherlands. They would do that so they could flood it. So now the Spanish would have to try to come through on their boats and swim in. So then you can see them from a farther distance. And then the picture on the right where you have the bridge, it is a bridge that is actually goes, the water comes right up to the top. So when they would flood it, it would flood into the bridge, and then you couldn't cross over the bridge. But then when they would lower the water levels, you could walk freely back and forth. And it was a really cool Dutch invention that they made, so that way they could fortify themselves and armor themselves. And then I don't have a picture of it, but they also would have like a really tall watchtower too, to see even farther out or above the trees. And then after that, the first full day I was there, there was a church member in their church that just, him and his wife just bought a house, and they wanted to get it painted, so me and Daniel went over there to go paint the house, and we spent like about 6 hours. This is the only picture I have, and we got the basement done and two of the bedrooms fully painted, and they were very grateful for all that we were able to do. And then we also did a lot of sightseeing when we were over there. This is Kinderdijk, so this is where all their main windmills are there. And sadly, when we were there, it was just after full bloom of the tulips, so we weren't able to see any of the tulips, but we also got to go biking. And it was really cool just to see up close all the windmills and all the working parts. I know that one picture, there's a pretty bad glare on it, but it was really cool. They made it all out of wood. So like the outside would be stone or bricks, but like all the working parts were wood. And then those spindles, they're imported wood from Brazil, and they could last up to like it's like 100,000 hours of the windmill spinning before they would have to replace them. So it was really cool to see that, learn that. And then another thing too is in those windmills is you would have a family of 10 or 15 all packed into one windmill on three levels. Your first floor would be like your kitchen, and that's where the parents would sleep, and then you'd maybe have like a living area. And then the next level, you'd have all the kids' bedrooms and stuff like that. And all their bedrooms was this hole in this wall and a bed basically big enough to sit up and sleep in. Because when we were at the open-air museum, which I'll talk about a little bit later, the one guy was saying that there was an old folk tale that if you didn't sleep sitting up, you would open your mouth and drool, and then the evil spirits could come in through your mouth and indoctrinate you like that, which is all false, but that's just what they believed. And then one day, so this was the first Monday and Tuesday I was there, me and Daniel went to a pastor's conference at the Tyndale Theological Seminary, and it was about the Bible interpretations and translating the Bible and when you are going through and just even copying the Bible, how easy it is to make a mistake. And that's why we can come up with so many different translations. But they were saying, as it comes through the years, they're able to focus more and more onto one specific way it translates, just looking through the old scripts, seeing where did these authors and the recreators make the mistakes, so that way they could better interpret it. And then another thing, too, that I didn't notice with this picture until I threw it in, with the Dutch flag in the backpack, it's a really interesting cultural thing over there. When somebody graduates, what they would do is they would go put a flag outside of their house and then a backpack on, because they don't do all like the grad parties and senior trips and stuff like that. So they do that instead to signify that they graduated and to show everybody that they graduated. And then one day too, we also went on a walk with the church, which was really fun. It was about 5 minutes away from where the church was. There was a nice open wooded area kind of, and they went for a walk, and it was about, I think, like 2.5 miles or something like that, and it took us 30-ish minutes. And then I also got to help out in their youth group one day. They do it about once a month, and this is right here just a game. The game was called Shrimp, so you have two people holding hands, and then you got to try to, those two people have to try to catch everybody else in between their arms. And then if you got caught in between their arms, the other person, if there's a second person out, you two are now a shrimp with them. And then your goal, if you are the shrimp, is to become, or is to get everybody. And if you're not a shrimp, your goal is to try to be the last one to get caught. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed being able to get with other Dutch teens and just see what they do, what they enjoy, and just to be able to also fellowship and see that there are other Christians around my age around other parts of the world. And then one day we did go to Belgium, and we visited an old city called Antwerp. And in the castle, so there was the castle, which was the main port, and this is a major port city still to this day. It isn't quite as big as like in the Netherlands, Rotterdam, where they ship thousands of tons of oil a day, but it is still one of the major ones. And the way Antwerp actually got its name was there were two folk tales. The first one is that there used to be a giant that lived in this land, and then somebody came through, slayed the giant, cut off his hand, and then there's a major river that runs through there and threw the hand into the river, which is the one that they hold to. And then on the bottom, I guess you're right, would be the statue commemorating that, and that's the one they like to hold to. And then the other one is if you got in trouble, they would cut off your hand and take your hand and throw it into the river, so that way you couldn't commit the crime again. But when we were there, there was an EU meeting, so the bottom left picture, that's the town hall. And then they would go and put all the flags of all the EU meeting, of all the EU countries there, so to signify that there's an EU. And then we also got to visit, we just stepped in because we didn't want to pay, but a cathedral that was from about 1200 AD. And that's one thing I found really cool over in Europe, is here in America, you might find things from 1600s, 1700s, early on like that. But over there, it wasn't uncommon to also be like, oh, this church is from 1200, 1300, during the Gothic Age. And I found that amazing, where it's just, it's so old and rich history, but they keep preserving it. And then one day, we also got to visit Amsterdam. This is the Lego store there. I wish I got a picture of the front, but this was actually like a full working windmill. It was about like 7 or 8 feet tall, and then the inside, the gears didn't work, but it's supposed to like represent like the inside of a working windmill and stuff. And it was really cool to see, and it was a huge, I mean, like, it wasn't like big like Mall of America big Lego store, but there was like two floors, tons of Legos. It was really cool to see all that stuff. And then one day we also went and visited Romand, and in Roermond, they actually have the oldest cemetery in the Netherlands. And then that one picture on the left is when they first started, there were three sections to the cemetery. There was the Catholic section, the Protestant section, and the Jewish section. And if you're part of any of those, that is where you would go and be buried. But there was one couple, she was Protestant, he was Catholic, or the other way around, I can't remember exactly what it was. But they wanted to be buried together, but because of the rules, they couldn't. So to honor that, they built these monuments and then had them still holding hands, and then they're just one on each side of the wall. So I thought that was really cool, and it was a lot of history there. And then we got to walk through, see a lot of the history of Roermond and all that. And then to, like I said, the open air museum. So this museum was about all the history of the Netherlands from start to finish. They started with just slowly reclaiming land, shoveling dirt from the high spots and putting it into the North Sea to slowly reclaim land. And then they eventually started with just a single windmill system to pump water, which they could do a fair bit. And then they worked up to a second windmill system, and then coal, electric, and then now today they have these big electric augers that can do millions of tons of water an hour. It's insane how much power they have and how fast they can push the water, because it's like 40% of the Netherlands is reclaimed land, and it is like always just in a flood watch just in case if the dikes break. But because they've figured out how to use the wind technology so much, that top picture is actually how they would used to do their wash. They would have a windmill circulating all the wash things, and it would slowly lift it and bring it down and circulate it, and then they'd have it sitting in there for 30 minutes to an hour, and then they would bring it over, wring it out, dry it out, and let it hang to dry. So they used their wind not only to reclaim their land, but also to do tons of just regular daily tasks. I also did, over in the Netherlands, a lot of preparation for camp. These are the only two pictures. I got to build cornhole for them and introduce the Dutch kids to cornhole. And a lot of them said they enjoyed it and are going to have to play it more. And I also helped Daniel's parents. They did the kids' side for the camp. And I helped them get ready for their camp too. Every Wednesday I would go over for like 4 hours and just do anything from preparing a cross. He always had an old cross, like old wooden cross, and then what he would do is he'd have the kids, if they made a confession or made a promise to God that they wanted to do something, he would have them nail it up to the cross, and then on Monday he would teach the story of Jesus Christ and how he died on the cross and was buried and rose again on the third day for our sins. And then he would take the papers off on the last day and bring it to the fire, and the papers of like sin that they wanted to confess, and throw it in the fire and say, Jesus Christ can save you from these, and burn it away and take it away just like that fire. But if you don't accept Jesus Christ, you'll be the one in hell burning at the end of the day. But it was very encouraging to hear that this Bible is not being taught just randomly and only what they want to hear, but also what they need to hear. And camp, it was a lot of fun. I just stayed on the teen side, so I worked with all the teens. The middle picture is the teens. This was their biggest year of camp. They had 70 teens and 69 kids. And that's not including any of the staff, which I think we had 18 staff on the teens, and it was about 20 staff on the kids. And we did a lot of things. The two other pictures I have, they had an afternoon game where it was a whole bunch of smaller games that you would try to finish as fast. So this one that I was running was called Post-it Alphabet. So they had a name. So The blue was Team Alpha or Delta, so they had to write out with 100 post-it notes and dial 100 their name Delta, and then I'd give them a slip. So that way they could go put it on the chart, and they all competed to try to get to the last piece. And it was a lot of fun. One day we went canoeing through one of the canals, and it was, I don't know, 4 or 5 miles through there. It was a lot of fun. It took me and two other guys about 30 minutes, and it took some people 2.5 hours to finish. I would joke around, and it was true, that I spent more time out of the canoe than in the canoe because I sat there waiting and helping people unload their canoes, but it was a lot of fun. We also had a few night games, too, where we would play, and then, too, they had competitions for dodgeball and volleyball, so I got to play a lot of volleyball with the kids there, and I love volleyball, and I really enjoyed playing with them, and they liked playing with me, too. And it was just a lot of fun to be there, get immersed in the culture. And the best part about that, too, was all the sermons were in Dutch. I was always around Dutch. The prayers were in Dutch. So I learned a lot of my Dutch from them and a lot of the kids, too, because I'm the silly American that doesn't know how to speak Dutch and I was willing to learn Dutch. That they would love to come up to me and be like, hey, pronounce this Dutch word, pronounce that Dutch word, or I want to hear it. And it was a lot of fun. And then, too, the cuisine over there, it was really good. So that pancake is a Dutch pancake. So it's almost like a French crepe in how thin it is and how big it is. But it's not as much eggs as, like, the French crepe. And then the one I had was just their seasonal berries. So there was bananas, strawberries, pineapples, and apples all on it. But you could get something like salmon on there. You could put beef on there. So I guess to me, beef on a pancake didn't sound too good. And then the picture on the left is what is called a croquette. And that is like... The best way to describe it is shepherd's pie deep fried without the potatoes. But it's shredded beef in like a thicker gravy frozen into a stick and then a breaded crumb and then they deep fry it. Not everybody likes it. I thought it was really good. And then with that, they always serve it with a small salad and bread, which is just their staple over there. Over camp for two meals a day, for every day, you always had bread. And it's not about what's in between the slices, it's about the bread. And talking to most people, they're just like, yeah, my average breakfast and lunch is about 6 pieces of bread per meal, which to me is insane. And then they had lots of Coke products over there too, so if you always needed a Coke, you could just go about anywhere and get a Coke. And then too, I got to get immersed into the black sheep culture, as one wise man said. That is because black sheep are internationally and highly respected and sought after. You should be proud to be that you are affiliated with black sheep such as I. So, now, what does this mean for me? One of the biggest things that I learned over there is America is not my home. I've learned that, and I'm willing to accept that, and I'm okay with that, and I'm willing to go wherever God wants me. So that means first, I have to go to college, and I'm pursuing a 4-year cross-cultural ministry degree, so that way I can farther understand what does ministry look like cross-culturally. I've already got a little glimpse of that. And then in that 4 years, I get to go on a semester-long internship. I'm already talking with Baptist Mid-Missions. I still have to talk with the school. I would like to go back to Holland. But I may not get the chance to go back, and if not, I'll go wherever God wants me to go. But I'm hoping to go back through Baptist Mid-Missions, and then they're going to try to do it again like this Go Dutch program. And they said they'd done it before. And then after college, I was planning on taking a year off just to save up some and then hit up seminary, so that way I can further my studies in just like the pastoral side and the pastoral work and just be able to farther myself in God's word. And then eventually get to be on full-time missions, start deputation, and find exactly where God wants me. And now I just want to end with probably one of my favorite songs ever. And I'm so glad we got to sing it over there. The English version is Behold Our God, and in Dutch it is Zien on Zee Gold. Are there any questions? Yes, Ms. Charlotte?
What college are you going to go to?
I'm going down to Faith Baptist Bible College in Ankeny, Iowa. Dad?
You made the comment earlier, the boys, because you said Daniel is looking already in the next area.
Yep.
You want to explain as far as the church planting goes?
Yeah, so the Boyds have been church planting in the Netherlands. I think he said he is third generation there. And I can't remember if it's third or fourth, but so right now he is in the southern part of the Netherlands in Bergen op Zoom. And he is, because I was asking about this, he said he is in the beginning end stages. So he is starting to look for a pastor. And the way he wants to do that is first he's going to the young men in his church and just looking around the church to try to find whether there are good people in the church. And he has found a few that he wants to see if they are willing to become pastors before he goes out to the rest of the Netherlands. So he's trying to bring in a domestic pastor, not have somebody from a different country come in. And he's also trying to keep that farther in the church. And then because he is realizing that he is almost done there, he is going to be going to Iventrop, which is about 30 minutes away because they have a few people from there that are driving. And in the Netherlands, 30 minutes is quite a long drive. And so they want to try to start a church a little closer so they don't have to drive as far.
So this internship, is that during that four-year period, or is it after the four-year college degree?
So their goal with that internship is to have you do it your sophomore or junior year. So they want you doing it during college. So the way that's going to look is you figure out where you want to go. The college has got a few places, a few mission organizations you can work through. Baptist Mission said they've worked with the college with this beforehand, and so they are going to, and then what happens is you go out to other churches, you raise your support, what you need, and then all you are paying for are just your classes, and then you're not actually paying for the actual internship. So kind of like what I did here. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Elliot, and I hope you have more questions yet that you can ask him, and praise the Lord for that opportunity, and we prayed much for you, and we're excited for what you were able to accomplish and see. Like I mentioned the last few weeks, we're just going to give some other updates and reports about ministries. Next week, we'll hear some more as well from some other individuals. Today, we're just going to briefly highlight our Blaine Baptist service trip, and that was on July 14th through 19th. And right off the bat, I just want to say I want to give special credit to someone who's not in this room right now because he's conducting a Bible study with somebody else, and that's Pastor Greg Rabati. Pastor Greg really did a ton of work to get this trip ready, and his organizational skills were very much evident. We got a lot accomplished. Blaine Baptist Church is pastored by Pastor Nathan Hitz with his wife Elaine. They've been there, I think, over 15 years now, and it's a small work that they are. They came, it was small with a lot of elderly people, and they are working to make that an established gospel witness in the city of Blaine. And you know, one of the great things about being at a church like this is that a small church, they just have a lot of holes, you know. There's just not as many bodies to take care of things. And us coming and helping a church like this was just a huge, huge shot in the arm for them. It's a real blessing. And there are a few people in this room, not many, but there are a few people in this room who do remember when Sunrise Bible Church was a very, very, very small church. And you know that when it was like that, there's just a lot of stuff to get done, and there's just not as many hands. Having an extra ministry come along and help is a great deal. It was a great blessing for Pastor Nathan and his wife and also the church family. I'm going to show you real briefly about a five-minute video. This is something that Elaine put together, and it's got some shots of some of the activities that were done, and I've got a few pictures, and then we'll give a few brief testimonies from some people who were on that trip, and then our time will be done. So this is something that Elaine put together. I thought it was worth seeing, and they sent this over to me this week, so hope you enjoy. Throw up just a few more pictures, talk a little bit about some of the projects. I'm sorry, we did not have an official picture taker, so if you were on this trip and you did not make it in the pictures, it is because we don't like you. No, it's actually because we just didn't have anybody thinking about that, but we had quite a few people coming along. The first couple days were very, very hot, and people worked extremely hard. The trees was one of the major things we did. I think we took down 9 trees, am I right on that? nine, and then most of them were pretty good size, plus a lot of different limbs. There was a lot of different people involved in that. Also, in the basement of their church, we were able to repaint their entire floor as well as the walls in that room, plus two rooms to the back there and a kitchen area. We also got some painting upstairs in their nursery and also their nursing room. Walls were washed down all over the place. We also had some kids along as well, and they were at times having fun. Other times they did a lot of work, so they went through this entire front of the church and to the side and weeded out the entire thing, and all these kids helped with that. Stump grinding took place also on the right. All of their chairs were able to be cleaned. The upholstery was cleaned there as well for them. And as I mentioned, we had kids as well. They had a good time, helped out in various ways. And we appreciate all of them so very much and the hard work that they did. Our teenagers and young people did actually a lot of work. We also had fun as well. And treats on a hot day was good. Kids also took care of repainting their entire play set, and so some of them looked very much like the play set when they were done, but got done. Had to throw this in there as well. Laurel Anderson attends here at church. She works in a library just down the street a little ways and said, "You got all the kids here, you got to come over. I'm doing story time one afternoon." So we took a break, I think, which is good for them. Enjoyed that as well. And cleared out a lot of the front of the church so that people from the road can actually see it. That video really doesn't do justice that she showed at the end, the before and the after, how much more you can see their building. A lot of people just didn't know it's a church because it looks too much like a house. And so this was that new sign, and that was a great help. Again, many people helping in lots of different ways, and a lot of hard work that was accomplished. With regard to that wood that was mentioned, the kids that were working on that came up with a system to give a rough estimate of how many pieces of wood that they stacked, and their estimate was 5,233. I don't know how they got to that number, but that is what they estimated that they did. And that wood, by the way, is a real help to the Hitz family. They use that, actually. They sell that in the community and helps them supplement some of their income as well, which is a real help to them. So you can see a number of the projects that were completed there, and appreciated, again, so much those who helped out in many ways. I asked this week just for a couple of people if they would be willing to give just a brief word of testimony, thanks, anything they want to say about the week. And I'm just going to start here. I'm going to start here with Tavis and then go to Anna, and then I'll finish up with you, Steve. And these just volunteered to say a few words, so you're on first. So,
seeing that picture of story time, that was really nice of the young people to teach my sister how to read. I think that's what was going on. If you ever want to feel blessing in your life when you're not used to commuting 40 minutes to another town, go help out at a church work day like this. That was quite a testimony of sunrise for a servant's heart from everyone that was there, and that was the true meaning of missions, reaching out to a fellow church. I just thought that was incredible, and it's still blessing me today. And trust, having your dad lift you up in the bucket of a skid steer while you're running a chainsaw. That was another great one. So, wonderful. Looking forward to another trip like that.
Amen. Anna.
Just have a couple of bullet points real quick. And first of all, I also wanted to thank Pastor Greg for all his work, because I know being involved in projects like that at a younger age, it takes a lot of work. And just a few highlights, getting to know a couple of the people from church that I knew the names of but didn't have the pleasure of really knowing, so that was really fun. I enjoyed the weather. I was born and raised in the tropics, so I just loved sweating out there that first day. And then I also liked the fact that we could I could only go one day, so I just went the first day, but it was fun just to get out and get there and get started. And then I appreciate Karen preparing all the food, being a housewife and stuff like that. I always, what do I have to eat? And so it was really nice not to have to do that, and she did a fabulous job, and I appreciate that. And then Pastor stole my thunder, because a lot of my Sunday school kids were there helping out, and they did approximately 5,233 pieces of wood, but who's counting?
Well,
Well, it was a real blessing to see another ministry. I mean, sometimes we get so focused on our own ministry that we don't realize all the ministries that are out there and the differences and the different people. Although we didn't get to see very many of the people, we got to know the pastor a little bit, and that was a blessing, too. I'm so grateful for the work going on down there in Blaine, and it looks like it's a tough situation, but the Lord can do great things as well. And the thing I thought about, too, as we were down there was, I think, of Psalms 133, where it talks about the beginning of the chapter about unity. And that was such a blessing to work with other believers, and everything seemed to go real well. I mean, just good job of organizing and people working together and taking care of stuff and figuring out stuff. And as you work on a project, there's always different things that come up that you have to try to figure out how to deal with or how to fix or how to get it done. And I'm just so thankful for the Lord's work in people's hearts, that they are workable people, they're humble people, they're loving people, they can get work together. And I'm so thankful for this church and that time down there. And you go down there to be a blessing, but it seems like it was a real blessing just to be there. And so I think we got more of a blessing maybe than what they got, although there was a lot of work done, especially those first 2 days. That tree crew was amazing. It was hot. And if you work with wood, you can get sweated out pretty fast, even on regular days. So I'm thankful for that. And then behind the scenes people, maybe not seen in pictures, we think of the cleaning crew. And as was mentioned, in the kitchen with food preparation, that's always a blessing because people are hungry and we want good food. And so I'm just thankful I was able to go down there. And hopefully we do another one of those sometime.
Thank you. It was a great blessing, and I think what Steve said is absolutely true, that oftentimes when you go to do these kind of things, you get the greater blessing than the people that you're serving. And I appreciated so much all those who came down, some for the whole week, few days, individual days that came. And I want to also echo there what Steve said at the end. People really worked well together. There wasn't people shouting at each other. There wasn't people, you know, getting mad about that, just what didn't go my way. You know, like that happens at workplaces. And maybe if we'd spent another week there, we would have got there. I don't know, but I don't think so. And it was just a blessing. Of course, we did have one incident while we were there, and that's with our brother Dwight took a tumble there and broke his wrist. And that was just kind of a freakish thing, not a very far fall. But he is doing well and is recovering, so we appreciate that. And working on making sure that he's well cared for. On the whole, other than that, which was significant, but like I said, it was a little tiny stepladder, I'd just say like that. It's not like it was a crazy thing, not being on the top of a bucket with a chainsaw, which his mother does have pictures of, by the way. It wasn't anything like that. But other than that, there were no serious injuries or anything like that, and people did work really hard. So what a blessing that was for our church, but also a blessing for Blaine Baptist. That's a ministry that we pray for regularly, and we'll just trust that this will be used in their lives in the months, weeks, and years to come. All right, I am out of time here, so let me just end with a quick word of prayer, and we'll get ready for our morning worship service. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day that we just get to come together and celebrate what you are doing in our church, in churches like Blaine Baptist, and also in places like the Netherlands. And we are thankful that the promise of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would build his church is happening. It's happening in our own state. It's happening in our nation. And it's happening around the globe. I'm thankful to hear the songs of praises being sung by people far away. And I'm thankful now for the songs of praises that we will enjoy as we worship you together in our morning worship service. Bless our hearts and prepare our hearts for that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.